Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White, sometimes known as Zany Mystic. Tonight I have another fascinating guest, as always. His name is Derek Riddall. He's a professional screenwriter, author, and licensed spiritual therapist. He's also been an actor in movies, TV, and stage, as well as a singer across the country. He has a new book that just hit the shelves called There's No Business Like Soul Business, A Spiritual Path to Enlightened Screenwriting, Filmmaking, and Performing Arts. It explores the greater potential of media and entertainment as an instrument of personal and planetary transformation. So let's find out more about this interesting person and his book by welcoming Derek to the show. Hello, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing great, Lance. Thank you.
Good. Well, you know, I just love the title of your book, and it seems like it's about time that spirituality hit show business, although it's always been there.
Right.
Do you want to talk about your book and how it came about and so on and so forth?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was in the entertainment industry as an actor and a writer, and I had a near-death experience, actually, while I was shooting a film in Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't actually die, but it was as close to it as possible and was absolutely convinced I was going to. And I was in a sustained period of that, stuck underwater for a sustained period of time, caught in a coral reef. And after I came out of there, something had really shifted pretty dramatically in me.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that there was a no turning back moment. And that night in my hotel room, I had what some people would call an opening. And I'd always been on a search for greater truth, but something really opened up and cracked open that night. And for the next year, I had the experience of dying in various ways, dreams and physical things. And what was happening, I know in retrospect, was that experience had really taken my ego and shook it from its moorings. And it was trying to kind of, you know, Humpty Dumpty had fallen off the wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men were trying to put it back together again.
Yeah, yeah.
And there just was no putting it back. And in the midst of that period, I was gifted, you know, with these, what I thought were some really clear realizations about the deeper meaning of entertainment and storytelling, and really just remembering what it was ultimately created for. And, you know, when the original storytellers sat around the tribal fires, or the great spiritual leaders or elders or shamans told the great myths and parables, and that storytelling was used, or entertainment, as you will, was used not merely to distract people from their lives,
right,
but to bring them into a deeper connection with their lives.
Yes.
And along with that vision, what was shown me, and actually again reminded to me, was that the mechanism of entertainment is, you know, part of it is distracting. There's a reason why, you know, just like with a, you know, when the doctor has to give the kid a shot, the nurse, you know, has a little rubber ducky and tells a little story or distracts the kid.
Yeah.
And before you know it, the doctor says, see, that wasn't so bad, and the kid's got his medicine.
Yeah.
And so entertainment is like that distraction, or the sugar that helps the medicine go down.
Yeah.
It's the smoke and fire around the tribal fire and the, excuse me for that background noise there.
Okay.
And that distraction there. And and it allows for the childlike senses to be engaged sufficiently so that the monitoring mind can't get in the way of the deeper meaning or message that particular entertainment is trying to convey.
Yeah.
And it's why commercials are so powerful, and often not for the right reason.
Yeah.
And so as I saw all of this, you know, it brought me back to, like, really why I had gotten into show business to begin with, and that my mission was more about putting the soul back in the show. And that was sort of what got me on the path, and, you know, I began, you know, going deeper my own spiritual path, but also getting a dialogue around what conscious entertainment looks like, or what soul business looks like.
Mm.
And then I began being asked to teach it, and, you know, over a period of time taught, you know, hundreds and then thousands of artists and entertainment people about this concept of getting back to the sacred ground of what made them want to become entertainers and artists and become part of this thing called show business. And, you know, that they really, at their heart, they were part of this sacred tribe of storytellers, and reconnecting with that. And ultimately, the second piece of that is to eventually help and remind the audiences that that's why we go into a darkened theater and for that communal experience called entertainment, because we're still yearning for that connection that we got sitting around the tribe. You know, with the firelight flickering in our eyes under the canopy of stars.
Very good.
And now we just do it with the, you know, the virtual firelight flickering in our eyes of the movie screen and the canopy of stars, of A-list stars. And but it's the same experience I think we're all yearning for, and I just want to bring even more of that back into the business.
Wow, well, that's an awesome goal to do that. And it sounds like it's really being well received there too, is it not? That you know, once people have had have reached their goals of, you know, whatever financial and fame and fortune that they seem to need to have to acquire, it seems like, you know, there's no end to that. One could go on with that indefinitely, and I think people are waking up and realizing that that's not the end.
Right.
That the fame and fortune is just something that's a byproduct, and it comes from expressing yourself fully and joyously. So it sounds like
Absolutely.
You're just doing a fantastic job there. Who are some of the people that you work with in the business?
Well, I'm working with, you know, all kinds of people. I've Mark Harris, who's the producer of Crash, actually did the foreword to my book.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Crash won the Academy Award for Best Picture, and is definitely soul business. You know, it's definitely a film that gets down to the heart of things. And I'm, you know, going to be putting together some stuff, working with him, probably a seminar. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of different people and will be working with a lot of different people at all levels, aspiring, professional, celebrity and non-celebrity. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
But really, like you said, you know, people at a certain point, they realize that if they've got a certain amount of material things, that at some point they turn around and they say, well, that's what there is.
Yes.
And they want to start making some kind of deeper contribution.
Yeah.
And I remember Brad Pitt once talking about that, you know, when he first reached celebritydom. And he said, you know, he suddenly realized that once you had all the baubles of life, you were suddenly stuck with the fact that there you were. You were stuck with yourself still.
Yes.
And and ultimately, then what? The question becomes, now what? Is that all there is?
Yeah.
And then you start, you know, and then you start going around and a lot of entertainment people, then what they tend to do is they'll tend to find, you know, activist things to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm trying to remind people in the entertainment industry is it's great to go out and do activist things. It's great to be for global warming and, you know, stop global warming and do all these wonderful things, you know, saving the whales and saving the children and all that. But don't lose sight that you're part of an industry that is has one of the greatest leveraging impacts on the planet right now, and that is media and entertainment.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like bring your attention back to bringing that consciousness and that intention to make a difference to the everyday work that you already have such an impact in.
Yes, absolutely.
And when the consciousness and the intention behind entertainment and media significantly shifts to be about not just entertaining, but enlightening, inspiring, enriching, and adding value to people's lives, I believe there will be a quantum shift in the consciousness of the planet, kind of like what I think is happening in a small way, not so small way, with The Secret.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar with The Secret, and,
yeah.
And that's, you know, it was an entertainment product. It's a documentary, but it has obviously a powerful message behind it.
Yeah.
And that kind of power and that kind of impact is possible to do not just in a documentary like that, but in any genre of entertainment or media, to have some seed of an idea that can have a really powerful impact in awakening people to, you know, different dimensions of themselves and different dimensions of possibility.
Mm.
And so can you imagine what the entertainment and media impact would be on the planet if not just once in a long while things like that were created, but on a regular basis.
Wow.
And then the other thing, you know, is really important, even now, that when I talk to people, more general audiences, not necessarily in the entertainment industry, is to remember why you go to the movies, why you watch TV, why you pick up a book, why you read stories. You may think it's just to get some distraction, and there may very well be a part of you that needs to get away and get distracted, and you may think it's just to be amused and entertained for a little while, but when you really look deeper, what we're really looking for is to be touched in some way, is to be transported in some way, is to get some kind of soul food from our experience with entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's to laugh so that we're lifted out of the density of our life, or whether it's to be taken on a great adventure so that we're lifted out of the minutiae of our everyday experience. Whatever it is, we're wanting to get something the same way that parables were used and myths were used. And so one of the things is, if we remember that, you know, we can start more actively engaging in entertainment and looking for the deeper mystical message in modern day movies and forms of entertainment and media. And I think that we'll be able to get a whole lot more out of the experience, no matter what the conscious intent was behind it. If we bring a conscious intent to it, then we'll get a whole lot more out of it.
Yeah.
And it also makes it a very fun, you know, experience as well when you begin to interpret the stories that you watch or read. And the one last little point I want to make about that is that what I found is that when you begin to really look and interpret the mystical messages in our modern-day movies and media, and you become adept at that, there's a transferring effect where you're able to then look at the stories of your everyday life, look at the stories you're actually living and your friends and family and colleagues are living, and you begin to see the mystical meaning behind the stories of your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things become really interesting and really exciting, and you realize that Shakespeare, I believe, had it right when he said that all the world is a stage and men and women are players upon it.
Yeah.
That we really are living a divine production.
Yes.
And when we start to be able to really look at it like that, we can stop being, as I like to say, stop being a prop in your divine production and become the star of your show.
Yes. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems, I've noticed too, that synchronicity tends to, for me anyway, reveals a lot through just the daily, everyday events that occur in my life, and sometimes there's so many of them that, you know, I could be sitting there just writing all day because of the synchronicity in my life, so it is there, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of being conscious of it.
Exactly, and synchronicity, you know, when you do become more and more conscious of your life and of the play you're in, you know, understand the play you're in and the part you're playing, you know, like, and look around, it's like, Being in the entertainment industry as a screenwriter myself as well, and also a script consultant, you know, one of the things I do is analyze stories and analyze scripts and look for the clues of the deeper author's intent. As an actor, I did the same thing. I would look at a script and try to understand the deeper author's intent, and there were always clues through the script to see the kind of what the author was thinking, what the underlying design of the play was.
Yeah.
And when you begin to look at life that way and look for the deeper author with a capital A's intent, you begin to see the clues all around you, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And the more you see the clues to the deeper design of this play we're in, the more the greater resonance and the greater power and the greater potential of that play begins to reveal itself.
Yeah.
And as you would call, more and more synchronistic events, you're more in the flow.
Yes.
You stop being merely an extra.
Yeah.
And you become the star of your show. You know, you really do become more empowered and begin living this life, this play, you know, more and more fully.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, it's awesome.
Absolutely. I used to have a friend that he was kind of a mentor. He mentored me a little bit when he was an older man. And he used to say all the time, he said, there are no accidents. And, you know, you can take it on any level, but... You know, there are literally no accidents.
That's right.
And people who've had kundalini experiences where that energy gets released from the base chakra tell us that every moment is scripted from, you know, birth to death. We're assisted every step of the way. And,
yes.
You know, and sometimes it just helps me to remember that, you know, this is a live production, and, you know, it's that life is fired at you point blank, you know. It's not a dress rehearsal. So,
That's right.
Now, for people who are listening who might be interested in writing and discovering their own skills, what you also work, your book also addresses how to put more soul or how to address that writing ability?
Yeah, well, my second book, the one that we were talking about, There's No Business Like Soul Business,
yeah.
S-O-U-L, is really, its primary purpose is, first of all, to bring people back to tapping into a vision of the arts and entertainment and media and really the deeper vision of what it, I believe, is intended to be, regardless of what it may appear to be. As the saying goes, behind every human aberration is a spiritual aspiration trying to get out.
Yeah.
There is to get us back in touch with that vision, because that's where the power is, and then align it with what our part in that vision is. Whether you're a writer, an actor, or a various artist or artisan or craftsperson, what is your role in that bigger vision of creating conscious content, you know, that really has a transformative impact on the planet? And then I go through, you know, really various steps and principles to becoming more and more that conscious artist that's totally tapped in to a higher vision, totally tapped into your power, and how to articulate that vision, how to put a plan of action together,
uh-huh.
and how to actually execute it. I don't go into specifics about how to write per se,
right.
but I go into a lot of specifics of how to get in alignment with your vision, you know, tapped into your muse, so that you can be inspired enough to write. In my book before this, called I Could Have Written a Better Movie Than That.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually spelled could have, COULD'VE.
Good.
I go into a lot more about the components of storytelling and screenwriting and how to do that.
Okay.
But you know, and there's always books on technique and things like that. And I do believe that there could be another book on really how to specifically design your story so that it you know, brings out that level of soul that we're talking about. But I think more importantly than that is to, if you're tapped in to your spirit and to your muse, whatever you want to call it, and to your vision, and you're living from that passion and you're living life fully, you're going to create at that level.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's most important, you know, rather than getting too concerned with particular techniques or whatever. If a person's really tapped in, then their consciousness, their muse already knows what it needs to learn and how it needs, what it needs to do to create the right kinds of things.
Right. So it's a matter of learning how to listen to yourself then and go with the flow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense. So what projects are you working on at the moment? Other than, you know, the book's coming out shortly, is that?
The book is out. It came out last month.
Oh, good.
And I'm currently working on, you know, various script projects. I'm writing a script for Universal, and I'm also writing a script for another motion picture company. And one's a family film, one's an action, psychological action film.
Uh-huh.
And while on the surface it looks like an action thriller, it's really about being loved and you know, learning how to accept yourself, and that was always my primary goal was to create an action thriller that had a much deeper core to it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because that's the other thing, is to realize it's creating conscious entertainment or spiritual cinema or whatever term you want to use is not so much about creating something that's preachy or that's even talking about spirituality or mysticism.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake people make.
Yeah.
It can be in any genre. You know, you look at the works of Shakespeare, and or you look at the parables of Jesus,
yeah.
and he's talking about, you know, servants and masters and kicking them out of your house and, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But the underlying meaning or message is cosmic.
Yeah.
Or you look at a movie like The Matrix, the first Matrix.
Oh, geez.
You know, it's a Buddhist template, you know.
Yeah.
Or you look at a movie like Groundhog Day. It's based on the stages of dying.
Yeah.
And actually the author knew that. So it's not about writing something. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes, is thinking it has to be talking about spirit or has to be talking about truth. It can be, but it needs to first and foremost be great storytelling or great drama.
Yeah.
And if you're tapped in, like I said, then it's the underlying meaning of it's going to be something that's meaningful.
Yeah.
So I'm working on those things. I'm also working on some new books. I have a novel called Hollywood, which will be about, basically is about a guy that dies and goes to a place called Hollywood, where he discovers that rather than being a victim of his life, he was the author of it.
Oh.
And it's based on that Shakespearean, you know, that Shakespearean line, "All the world a stage," and
yeah,
then a woman about.
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
Yeah, and then I have a nonfiction book that's going to come out of that, called Your Divine Drama.
Huh.
And it's basically, it walks you step by step how to break down the script of your life and understand the play you're in and the part you're playing.
Oh, wow. Well, that's really important for people to be able to do, because I know a lot of people, you know, in the various groups that I'm involved with say, you know, they don't know what they're supposed to be here to do yet.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And I think there's a lot of confusion going on with things being so uncertain in the world. And I don't know about you, but I tend to think that the Mayan prophecy about 2012 is probably as close to being accurate as you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that things are shifting pretty rapidly, and that by the time 2012 rolls around, they're really going to be rolling.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. I think there's some major, major shifts happening. And and we're all here on a hero's or heroine's journey.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, you know, getting clear on what that is.
Yeah.
And having the courage to live it out, you know, because I think what happens is that our tendency is to want to do things that are safe or that are comfortable or that are convenient.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it was Emerson who said, "God will not do his work through cowards." And it might have been Thoreau, but I think it was Emerson. It sounds like an Emerson quote. And really, you know, it's not supposed to be a critical comment. It's just that in order for us to really actualize our full potential, you know, think about a hero in a story or a heroine in a story. What is it that they must do? They have a very strong goal
yeah.
that they're tapped into. They have the call to adventure.
Yeah.
And then they have to overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacle after obstacle, and every time it forces them to dig deeper and pull out their greater latent talents, abilities, skills,
mm-hmm.
and qualities of their character to go from being the everyman or woman to becoming more and more the hero or the heroine. And and if you look at that particular structure of a great story, see, in life we tend to look at our obstacles as problems that we need to avoid or solve, or we wish they just didn't happen. But in a great story, the author understands that it is the obstacles that force and cause or allow the character to become more and more of a hero.
Yeah.
To become stronger, more capable, more skillful, more enlightened. And so they're actually blessings in the form or the shape of an obstacle.
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. And that's really a shift in perspective that we need to take if we want to become the heroes of our own life. And fulfill our purpose and all that. As we begin to look at all the challenges in our life, all the challenges in the world, not as problems that, you know, often we want to change the world but stay the same. And but if we look at them as opportunities to become more of our fuller self, to awaken to more of our true self and actualize more of our potential, then every challenge, every crisis, every obstacle becomes something we can get really excited about.
Yeah,
And we can go, all right, I'm about to become more of my real self.
Yeah.
And that's something to get excited about.
Absolutely.
And that's a really important, I think, shift, again, from being a victim to life to being, you know, the champion or the victor in life, or the author of life.
And it takes a little bit of courage, too, for people to step out of the routine of their, you know, the problems. In other words, as you mentioned, our problems or trials can become our greatest ally.
Absolutely.
Only if we, you know, only if we step up to the plate and realize that they're just going to continue going on in circles and circles and circles.
Until, that's right.
You know, until we get so tired of it, or until it gets so bad that we're forced to stop.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm coming out with my book in about a month or two, and
congratulations.
And it's a chronicle. I mean, it's just exactly what you were talking about. You know, I won't go into all the details, but, you know, in it chronicles all of the hardships and the things that I've lived through and that have actually helped to bring me to this point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whatever this point is, and this point is learning how to be an actor on the stage.
Yes.
You know, and step up to the plate and just do whatever the omniverse shows me is the next step to do, and it's always the right step.
That's right.
You know, we can't make any mistakes, because the only mistake is by not trying at all and not doing anything.
And just using the whole idea of this being a divine production.
Yes.
What is a mistake? It's a mistake.
Yes. Exactly.
So it's like, okay, cut, take
exactly.
two. You just try it again.
Exactly.
You know, it's like Groundhog Day. You just keep doing it until you get the scene right.
Yes, exactly. And have you made the connection, too, that that films are very much like a metaphor for the way that God, you know, let's just use the God word for a second.
Sure.
That God might be creating, that we're in a holographic projection, and that, you know, if you can make movies in Hollywood that are just so awesomely perfect down to the last... The colors and the sets and the angles, why wouldn't God be able to do that with our lives?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and this, if that's the case, then this is going to be the best movie that's ever made.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, if we piddly humans can rally together and make these incredible films, and believe me, I love Hollywood. I love films. I'm a film buff, and I see a lot of value in the films that are even coming out right now. Maybe it's because I do look for the deeper, you know, I look for the love connection, and I look for
yes.
messages from the heart. And if a film has that, and even sometimes it's just inanely funny, you know, just the ability to make fun of ourselves. Like Borat was, you know, pretty humorous. And, you know, just like W.C. Fields and Laurel Hardy, they just stumbled around and did silly things, but... You know, it was the human condition, and it helps us to laugh at ourselves, and sometimes
absolutely.
We do.
Absolutely.
But I'm really impressed with the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood, all things considered, and, you know, with people like you really adding the depth and the layers of consciousness and soul power to everything you do, it's going to create a revolution, I know.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, you're speaking my language now. Like I said, imagine an entertainment and media industry that isn't just putting these out every once in a while or in pockets, but an industry that is filled with
yes.
you know, with Shakespeare's and Plato's and Aristotle's and
yeah.
and the great and truly great artists and mystics and
yeah.
creative geniuses churning out comedies and thrillers and actions and reality shows and whatever, on all the genres that can speak to every age
yeah.
group and population and culture, but throughout all of these different things, that common thread of an intention to awaken, inspire, or educate, or nourish, or inform in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, the kind of impact that will have.
Yeah.
And again, I believe it's the destiny of it. I believe it's, you know, we started off with doing stories from a very pure reason, you know. Parables and myths and the tribal fire,
yeah.
and then the, you know, the revolution, the industrial revolutions, and that it created the ability to take these myths and parables and distribute them on a mass level across the planet. We had to kind of seemingly get away from the core for a while to develop the technology to be able to bring our dreams into such three-dimensional reality.
Yeah.
But now that we've got the technology, we've got the global heart, or the global mind, rather, now we're creating the global heart and the global soul back into the heart of this process or this distribution system called entertainment and media.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the truth in every major institution or industry on the planet, is that there's a seed idea that is about truth and about revealing, you know, heaven in form.
Yeah.
And then it gets away from that idea for a while to build up the physical structures and constructs and technologies and all that. And then it goes full circle to get back to that original idea, but now with the structures to be able to distribute it in a massive way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening and is the revolution you're speaking about. And, it's very exciting. And in terms of God, you know, the holographic projection of God's divine movie called Life, I absolutely agree. I mean, that's what Hollywood is all about, my novel. And I think, you know, if you look at dreams are a perfect example. I mean, you're in a dream and you're experiencing all of it in full technicolor, the feelings, the senses, the emotions, everything. And then you wake up and you realize it was all just going on. It was a figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
But or was it?
Or yeah, you know? Or was it?
You know, and it's like,
that.
And so, but you wake up and you realize that, I mean, so this is just another version of a dream machine that's cranking out these dreams called our life, or cranking out these movies called our life, you know, this collective dream or this collective myth called life on earth. And absolutely, I believe that that's what it is. And like you're saying, if we have the ability to create great movies in miniature, why can't we create the movie of our life into these great classic, you know, stories?
Absolutely. And
I know we can.
And from your vision and other people who share that vision, we can completely transform the face of the earth.
Totally.
You know?
And I think the key shift, like I was saying before, is from the shift between thinking you're a victim of life or you're a mere prop in this divine production, to discovering that you're the actual author, or at least the co-author with the divine, of this great production called your life, and you are the star, and you created you and me created these challenges before we came here, the same way a great author
exactly.
would create the challenges.
Exactly.
So that, not so that they will crush our soul,
right.
but so that they would free our soul to express and enliven us to be even more than we ever thought possible.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I mean, that's a huge, when just that shift in consciousness, for me, when and as that shift happened and as it continues to happen, you know, I mean, that's a huge shift right there when you begin to realize that.
Yeah.
And in a way, you know, the phenomenon of the secret is, it's telling people, in a sense, that same idea, but in a different way, which is that you're not a victim of your life. You have created and are continuing to create your experience.
Yes.
By the power of your thoughts, your beliefs, by the power of the story you're telling yourself every day. You know, it's like the story we tell ourselves every day creates an inner movie that projects out onto the screen of our lives, creating the outer movie of our lives.
Yep.
So we got to start, you know, creating new inner movies.
Absolutely. And, you know, playing the victim just disempowers us. You know,
exactly.
We completely negate the power that's there. You know, we are powerful beings, and when we're playing the victim, we're actually lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a lie that we tell ourselves to keep from being responsible for, you know, for our own lives.
That's right.
And that causes a lot of damage and wreaks a lot of havoc out there in the world. And then we get to look at the world and say, well, see, it's the world's fault. Look at how
exactly.
the world is. And
exactly.
the world's that way because we're not stepping up to the plate of our own lives.
That's right.
And if each person just said, oh, I'm a player in this play, just look at it as if it's a movie, you know.
That's
and,
right.
And you're the star of the movie. Would you want to be, you know, sitting there crying your eyes out over some, you know, the jilted lover, or, you know, you pick yourself up and you move on and you put one foot in front of the other and say success is the best revenge.
That's right.
You know.
And if you ask yourself that, you say, okay, wait, let me just confirm the idea. If this is a movie or a divine production or whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
And I'm not only a major player in it, but I also co-authored it.
Yeah.
Then you have to ask yourself, why in the world did I create that scene?
Right.
And not just from the standpoint of like kicking yourself, but actually saying, okay, I co-authored, I created this play exactly as it is. I created the childhood I had.
Right.
I wrote this play. I cast. Check this out.
Yep.
I cast the people in this play.
Yep.
I cast the characters in my play.
Including your parents.
Exactly. Including my parents and including my enemy, so-called.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I cast that person who betrayed me.
Yes.
And so why did I do that? You know, it's like you look at the story of Jesus, you look at Judas and Jesus, and people say that Judas was this terrible guy,
yeah.
And I believe deeply in my soul that Judas was like Jesus' soulmate.
Yeah.
And Jesus knew it, and Jesus knew that Judas had to play his part in order for Jesus to play his.
Exactly.
And to fulfill that story so that message could be conveyed.
Oh, absolutely. Right on the money.
You know, so if that's true, then we can look at the Judases in our own life and the challenge and go, I cast them in my life so that they could help me awaken to my fuller potential.
Yeah.
And so I can ask those questions. I could begin looking at the people that have so-called done me wrong and actually beginning to really be thankful and bless them. And that doesn't mean that you condone the actions, and people get kind of taken off by that. It just means that you begin to ask, if I'm the author of this play and I cast these characters, I did it for a reason to empower my spirit and to become more and more of my true self, not less.
Yes.
What is that reason? What is that reason? And when you start to ask that question, you can look back at your parents and your childhood or that lover that jilted you or that boss that fired you or whatever. And you can actually start to have some pretty profound insight into who you're really meant to be. And it can not only set you free and create such forgiveness, but it can create such empowerment and such strength and such insight that, you know, it'll blow your mind.
Oh, absolutely.
So you can tell I get pretty jazzed about this. So just cut in any moment.
Oh, I know. I love it. I do too.
I don't mean to start getting on a soapbox, you know. But
no, I do it too. I get on my soapbox too because I'm totally in agreement with you. You know, it's about transforming your own life. And if anything, you can thank the people in your life for doing such a darn good job of acting.
Exactly.
And here's the difference: they don't know they're actors.
That's right.
You get to know first because you realize that you are the one that's benefiting from this. It's never mind what they get or what they don't get. Most people,
that's right.
The other actors in your life, they may not ever wake up to their roles.
That's right.
But the moment that you think, like you're talking about and like I'm talking about, that you begin to examine your life and you realize that we wrote this ourselves. We're writing it right now as we speak.
That's right. That's right.
You know? And, oh, my God, I'm on air, you know, that kind of thing. I'm live from wherever I am in the ethers. But, that's the chance. That's the opportunity to awaken and to awaken to our own creation.
That's right.
And you know, what you say is really so exciting because it empowers us to transform our lives and go beyond the victimhood. And I know there are a lot of people that have had difficulties that you know, they're hanging on to, like, you know, rape and abuse and this and that. I mean, the list goes on and on.
That's right.
But at a certain point, we simply have to stop the way that we look at things and allow ourselves to see them differently.
That's right. You know, and also, let's say, a form of abuse, if you were abused as a child or whatever, and if you were to sincerely ask yourself the question, what if I created that, if I was the author of that, and I created this great story of triumph, why would I have created that scene in my life? And when you ask that question with sincerity,
yeah.
the lessons that begin to emerge and the insights,
yeah.
you start, instead of creating a story for your life that I was a victim, I was abused,
right,
and
right.
I was all that, you start to discover I created that so I could learn about compassion,
yeah.
so that I could teach and help others that have had that experience
yeah.
how to become free.
Yeah.
I created that so that I could learn how to know my real inner core strength so completely
yeah.
that no matter what the world does around me or to me, I
yeah.
will never lose touch with who I really am.
Oh, absolutely.
And you start to get a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
You start
yeah.
to have a whole different story about who you are in your life when you just start asking in that question.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's the other thing, you know, is before we showed up on Earth stage, you know, we got together, you know, and we met these other souls, or we you know, to be in our play.
Yeah.
And you know, we might have made an agreement. They're like, okay, I'm going to play this part, and I'm going to, you know, do some pretty gnarly things to you, and it's
yeah.
going to... And you're like, cool, and it's going to make me awaken to compassion and forgiveness and all that. And as you're making these agreements, that other soul is saying to you, here's the only thing. I'll play that part. I'll be Judas for you, Jesus.
Yeah.
But all I ask is that in the moment that I strike you down, in the moment that I betray you, at some point, please remember that we made this agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget who I am behind the mask that I'm wearing,
mm-hmm.
beneath the costume
mm-hmm.
that I'm putting on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget who I am in my spirit.
Yeah.
And when we begin to do that, I mean, you think about all the people that are stuck in prisons, that are stuck and they're considered the enemies and the outcasts and
yeah.
the criminals and one of the biggest reasons I believe why crime and all these issues and violence keeps perpetuating is not just because we think we're victims, but because we've closed our heart off
yeah.
from true compassion and forgiveness.
Yes.
And we've forgotten who they are.
Yes.
We've forgotten. So, and remember, it is done unto you as you believe.
Yeah.
So if you keep thinking these are all these bad people, and you cut off your heart to them,
yep.
you just keep creating the
yep.
experience of more and more bad people.
Because they're part of us.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, we're separating ourselves and fragmenting. And we forget that person is us, too. The beggar
yeah.
in the street is us.
That's
the
right.
The person behind bars is us. And until we open our hearts to everybody equally and just love everybody, you know, then, and as we would love ourselves, the whole face of the earth changes in that moment.
That's right.
I mean, I love what you're saying.
You know, I mean, I don't mean to get political, but,
don't go
you know, or somewhat un-PC, but... You know, one of the things I have the challenge with when I hear of the religious right and
yeah.
the political religious rights
yeah.
and how they're so for war and crime and punishment and
yeah.
and I really wonder sometimes if they've ever actually read the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
And when he's on the cross and he's being persecuted and crucified and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
Yeah. Yeah.
He understood. He knew that part of one of Jesus's you know, challenges and opportunities for his spirit, his soul, was to be in that situation where he was so persecuted
yeah.
and to still love unconditionally
yep.
and forgive his enemies and
yep.
forgive, and to the point where he no longer saw them as enemies. He saw them as just being in ignorance.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the true possibility. You know, that's the gift that all the so-called bad people give us, is they give us an opportunity to grow in our degree of compassion and unconditional love
yeah, yeah.
on a level that we most of us never even touch.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's just so many incredible opportunities for our own growth and our own healing when you shift things from being the victim to being the author.
Oh.
And realizing that, like you said, these are all parts of us. These are all players in the play that we created. And when you peel away the masks and the costumes, underneath it all, we're all the divine actor playing the parts.
Yes, yes.
And
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that I've heard a lot of with people who are, you know, who get into spiritual subjects is that we often reincarnate with the same soul groups.
That's right. That's right. It's like our acting, our divine acting troupe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Our
we travel around with the same soul troupe.
Yeah.
And we keep playing different, putting on different plays and
right.
playing different parts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I found that a lot of people discover that their father or mother was a brother or sister or an uncle or an aunt or
exactly
a lover or a girlfriend, and
that's right.
They were male in one life, female in another, heterosexual,
that's right.
Homosexual, done it all.
Exactly. Played all the genders, played all the kinds of things. That's actually one of the things in my novel Hollywood. When the character shows up in Hollywood, one of the first things he does is he gets to look at some of the past performances, and he sees that these characters that are in his life right now have played all kinds of different parts in his life plays before.
Wow.
Just like that, that he's
okay.
played a woman, he's played a man, he's been with his wife, has been his sister, his dog was his goat.
Yeah.
Even the animals incarnated as different animals,
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. That realization alone, just that one idea carried out,
yeah.
Think of the healing that could do around gender, sexual orientation, and if you realize that you're not a man or a woman, you both, the male and female are in you, and you played both parts anyway, so what's the big deal?
Exactly.
Or when you realize that you've been both a male and a female, then the whole, battle of the sexes becomes kind of a crazy battle.
Yeah, it's kind of a ridiculous old paradigm that's dying.
Exactly.
And I think you're seeing so much of this from a new paradigm. It's an awakening paradigm.
Yeah.
And the old paradigm is in duality and believes that things are black and white. But in this new paradigm that you're talking about, everything is one and united.
Yes.
And we have been all, and it's a conscious view. It's not an unconscious view. And we've been living unconsciously pretty much up until about now. I used to tell people, I said, it seems like people on this planet Earth have just barely come out of the primordial ooze, sure, the clothes look pretty nice on the fashion runway and all that, but the mentality has barely changed since the beginning of time.
Yeah,
we're still beating each other up with the cave people. What's the difference between cave people batting each other over the head with a bat to get the steak out of the guy's hand and taking over oil fields in Iraq?
That's right. Well, I think what's happening is that we progress to a stage of such technological evolution and such ubiquitousness of abundance, especially in the Western world, that we're coming to a point now where, there's only so many gadgets that you can create. You're just not going to get your fix anymore.
Yeah.
And we're starting to turn, and I think eventually, like that full circle I was saying, we've got the global brain, brain going on, but now we have to get back to the global heart and soul.
Oh. Absolutely, and I think that your idea on technology is interesting because you can't eat an Xbox.
That's right.
And there's going to come a time very shortly when the markets are going to rattle and fall, and food will be scarce, as will water. And that's
right.
Not in the very long, far future. So, what we see is an illusion, and it's been a nice illusion so far, but it's about to get shattered.
Well, I think it has in a lot of ways already, and unless we choose consciously,
mm-hmm.
Because you have two opportunities. You can. It's like in a great story, the hero uses obstacles and challenges to force them to awaken.
Yeah.
But because we have conscious volition, we can choose to keep letting the drama force us awake, or we can actually choose to go directly to the truth and begin to awaken without the drama.
Yeah.
And if we choose to awaken without having to go through the drama, then hold on a second. Then we will actually be able to, I believe, subvert and avoid.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that cataclysms and catastrophes and disasters are absolutely
they're not
guaranteed.
No.
I think that we have choices. We can be dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
into conscious awakening,
right.
Or we can choose to take the path of insight and revelation and
yeah.
conscious choice.
That sounds good to me. Where do I sign up?
Well, you've already signed up, and that's what you're doing right now with your radio show. It's what I'm doing. And the more of us that catch that fire, and it's what The Secret's doing, and the more of us that, you know, people that stand up and start to talk about and have
yeah.
a dialogue about this,
yeah.
we can create a cultural awakening.
Oh, yeah.
And when critical mass takes place, when an idea hits critical mass,
yes.
By dialoguing, by agreeing, where two or three are gathered and begin to agree upon a thing, just by me and you sitting here and agreeing on this, we're creating a synergy in
yeah.
in divine mind
yep.
that is having a rippling effect across the planet.
Yeah.
People that aren't even hearing this radio show and that never will hear it
yep.
are hearing it in their soul.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes.
it's because we're all one in consciousness
that's
in the quantum
right.
field that this ripple of energy, this ripple of realization that we're agreeing on is actually popping in all over the planet right now. People
yeah.
are having insights and people
yeah.
are being inspired.
Absolutely.
So even if people are just gathering in their room, in their living rooms or wherever, and beginning to have this conversation and beginning to agree upon a higher vision,
yes.
transformation is taking place.
Absolutely. Oh, I love what you say. I love what you
yeah.
say. And people will become conscious just listening to us talk.
Absolutely.
Their level of consciousness will just automatically rise to the highest level possible. And people will find themselves just literally waking up as they listen to us talk about the subject.
And I really think it's important to know that it's, you know, whatever the work a person can do, like even if it's just getting together in their living room on a regular basis or on the phone and agreeing on the highest vision of truth
yeah.
that they can muster,
yeah.
just it's like when, you know, there was a time when the 4-minute mile couldn't be broken.
Mm-hmm.
It was believed to be a biological, physiological impossibility. And then one individual had the courage and the strength and the willingness to push and break through
mm-hmm.
and actually broke the 4-minute mile.
Mm-hmm.
And that once that happened, that became a possibility in the universal mind.
Yeah.
And simultaneously around the planet, other people began breaking the 4-minute mile.
Yep. Yeah.
So the minute we start breaking through those limitations in our own mind.
Yes.
We literally open up the possibility for everyone to tap into it, and others will start popping into that same state of consciousness, that same state of possibility as we are, the same way that they broke through with the 4-minute mile.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, right now, because of this conversation, people are right now breaking through certain limitations, and people are popping into greater potentiality. People are waking up a little bit. Even if they don't hear this radio show, that's
yeah.
the cool thing.
Yeah.
Because our consciousness is omnipresent
yeah.
and it's invisible and there's no boundary of time and space to it.
Yes.
So it's happening. And of course, if they listen to it, you know, they're going to get juiced from that as well.
Right, right.
But, you know,
we could be talking about recipes for carrot cake, but the level of consciousness would be the shifting.
That's right.
So it doesn't really matter what we talk about, in a sense.
Well, that's a very good point. You know, it's like if you're a plumber, you may not walk around talking about cosmic ideas.
Yeah.
But if you bring a level of consciousness and
yes.
love to
yes.
your plumbing,
yes.
then that consciousness and that energy is transforming the house you're working on,
yeah.
the neighborhood you're working in,
yeah.
and so much more. So
absolutely,
no matter what you do, no matter where you are, when you do the work yourself and you start bringing that level of consciousness, you're a blessing to the whole planet.
Absolutely. And I love what you say, too, because if you're just at home washing dishes, you know, and you just had dinner and you think, oh, this is another dish. But if you bring conscious intent to it and you think, wait a minute, I chose this. This is the most marvelous dish. I've never washed this dish before.
That's right.
Look at the soap bubbles on it. Smell the smell. And you just put all your focus and think, I am so happy to be able to be alive to do this. And before you know it, everything is transformed. And
that's
so
right.
It doesn't matter what we do. And, you know, in my mind, sometimes I think that certain things are better than other things. But when push comes to shove, we're in the right place at the right time. And it's
that's
to
right.
embrace what you're already doing and wake up to what you already chose and love it. You know,
that's
and
right.
if you don't love it, leave it. Do something else.
That's right.
But do it with joy and do it with gusto.
Well, it's like, again, to bring it back to, you know, before we wrap this up, you know, to bring it back to the whole idea of this being a divine play and you're playing a part.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that in the world of acting, you know, the joke is, you know, or the saying is there are no small parts, just small performances.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so there are no small, there's no, you think this isn't the right thing I should be doing. Or, there's no such thing as a small part that you're playing in life. There's just a small perception.
Yeah.
So it's just that you're bringing a small perception to the part you're playing.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is bring a big perception.
Yeah.
And that part becomes a very major part in life.
Exactly.
Because there are no small parts in this divine play.
Exactly. Expand your consciousness to write yourself as, you know, you were the dishwasher that changed the world.
Exactly.
You were the chosen dishwasher.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That's the truth. I mean, that's
it's
really the truth.
Truth.
You know,
it's like it's absolutely the truth.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you look at, you know, people like is it Brother Lawrence or Saint Francis of Assisi?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these weren't superstars. These were people who just did their little thing, whether it
yeah.
was tending to animals or cleaning up the straw on the floor,
yeah.
or you know, and but because of their consciousness and their commitment, they had this massive impact.
Yes. Yes, that's
and
real power. That's
absolutely.
Real power.
Absolutely.
And empowering other people is even more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Derek, before we run out of time, I was amazed at how fast that hour went.
You told me it'd go by fast, and you were absolutely right.
Well, you've been a delight to talk to, and I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want
My pleasure.
You to tell people how they can find you on the Internet.
Yeah, so there's... either Derek Rydell, that's DerekRydall.com, or enlightenedentertainer.com. You can also Google my name, Derek Rydell, Rydall. And, of course, my book, There's No Business Like Soul Business, S-O-U-L, is in stores and on Amazon. And if you're a writer and you're interested in the writing area, then my other book, I Could Have Written a Better Movie Than That, might interest you.
I think
but
I'll
that,
have
that
to
should
get
be
that
enough.
One. My next book, my next thing might be a Hollywood script, and I can they run it by you first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks a million, Derek, for being on the show. You've been absolutely wonderful, and I just applaud your openness and your spirituality, and I just wish you the very best.
And right back at you. I
okay.
really appreciate what you're doing. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too.
All righty.
Good night, everybody.